Tim, I'm here with you in Altadena in your garden, and this is gorgeous. This is this paradise at the intersection of Fair Oaks and Mountain View. And I want you, Tim, to tell us, I want you to introduce yourself and tell us about the prophet Ezekiel.
Oh, well, I'm Tim Dundon. I've been here since 1942. It's like my parents bought this place in 1933. It was originally built by the founder of the cemetery over there, so there was some kind of weirdness attached to it. But anyway, it's like I got married in 1966 and moved away, and then let's see, I came back in 72 after my marriage broke up, and decided to really get into organic gardening and farming, urban farming, and really try to figure out what made the whole thing work. So it's like down through the years, I've learned many things about how to make compost happen faster, and how to make it more concentrated, and how to get better results, and how to grow food that I'm sure has medicinal value. That the idea is to take and put a program inside of every military base where we take and make a peace memorial. It's like a peace memorial composting garden, where it's like the idea is to spread peace and harmony and understanding throughout the world, rather than stand there with guns and one, you know, it's like we're just promoting violence and ugliness by not realizing that life is the way. It's like the living things have the power to create enough material to where all our needs can be fulfilled just out of doing the garden.
Perfect. Let's take a breath. There's a lot more to say, but that's perfect. We're going to talk about a lot of things in the next 15 minutes. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about energy. We're going to talk about outcasts, people being sort of outside of the box. But first, to get started, and of course, humus. But first to get started, I need you to explain to us about the prophet Ezekiel.
Well, the prophet Ezekiel was the Old Testament, he was the Old Testament prophet that had the most spiritual visions of all. He had the Shekinah vision and the vision of the wheel within the wheel. It's like I had a vision that was somewhat like that, where when I had my 40-foot pile, it became like a planet within a planet. It's like I call it the mother and daughter. It's like I fed her the fodder and brought her the water, and she started going up and down like a giant teeter-totter, and the friction got her hotter and hotter. So I fed her more fodder and built her higher and brought her and taught her to swim like an otter. And then I ran in and watched a little bit of Welcome Back, Cotter, and read my Harry Potter. And when I came out, it got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter to where you could finally melt solder. In other words, the pile spontaneously combusted. And the whole, see, all life is energy. When you release it too fast, if you don't do it in the right way, the whole thing will catch on, it auto-ignites. It's spontaneous combustion is a phenomenon that's pretty intense, believe me.
Perfect. So you've begun to touch on Ezekiel. Your moniker is Zeke the Sheik. So perhaps at this point we should just take a deep breath and jump in the deep end and explain to us why you've taken the moniker Zeke the Sheik and poop as a concept.
Well, see, ever since I had the vision that said my mission was to form the coalition for the abolition of nuclear fission, and in addition, stamp out malnutrition, and this put me under a great deal of suspicion, so I decided to make the transition and become the politician with the mission of taking everybody fishing. You know, like the idea is to realize that by incorporating fish farming and proper husbandry, we can create enough food with peace and love on it, where I'm sure we can change the attitude of humanity.
Perfect. That's you. I believe you to be correct.
Teachers were here about 2 weeks ago. It's like it was the waxing moon was directly overhead. We were talking about heavy-duty stuff. It's like we were on the verge of enlightenment. The cemetery over there was Fox was over there filming a movie, so they turned on the big lights that light up the you know, so it makes it like day at in the nighttime. the helicopter, the police helicopter, flew over with the night sun. It's like all these lights together illuminated this place like you can't believe, to where the two teachers, they're going, I mean, it was a perfect timing shot.
Perfect. You still have to explain to us your moniker, Zeke the Sheik, and the power of poop.
Okay, well, see, like the vision that I had, it's like I realized that I was somebody special that had a mission that, you know, my friends thought I was crazy. It's like, okay, to explain the vision thing, it's like my sister gave me a book called Cosmic Consciousness, that it's about most of the heavies down through the ages, for the first 30 years of their life, they operate under common consciousness, but then all of a sudden the light shines on them, and it's called enlightenment. It's like the Buddha when he was enlightened at the Bodhi tree. It's, many people have had that experience, but when you come back and try to explain it to people, they think you're crazy, because you see things that are so cosmic, that are so beyond this realm of thinking. But anyway, what I did is I put together an alter ego character called Zeke the Sheik. So Zeke the Sheik is like, when I was 34 years old, I weighed 220 pounds. I was an iron worker. I was tough as nails. I mean, it's like I projected an image. It's like everybody saw God.
Perfect. And now we have to get to poop.
Well, the poop is the, you know, everything makes poop. Even the plants. It's like the leaves and everything. It's all. Waste material. See, why do we call it waste? It's like, why do we waste something that is the answer we can take and build it? You know, I call this the subtle shuttle. It's like, this is the spaceship to take us beyond this realm of existence. It's like, I call it the ladder of matter. The more matter that I scatter, the more the ladder gets fatter and fatter, and the critters get gladder and gladder, and they all thought I was madder than the Mad Hatter, but it doesn't really matter, just as long as I scatter more matter.
I think at this point we need to start to describe this garden that we're standing in, and I think you need to just give us a sense of your compost pile and your humus and the whole cycle that happens. I think this is basically a permaculture environment that is really finely tuned, and if you could do a little better job of explaining what it is, because people are just listening, they're not actually here with us.
Well, see, when I broke up with my wife and came back here, it's like I was kind of lost for a while, but then I realized that the garden was the thing that would put me back on track. So I started reading Rodale Press, and Ruth Stout was the mulch lady. She was back in Connecticut, I think. But she got incredible results just by putting down spoiled hay all around. You know, every year it would get better and better and better. So I realized that across the street, the cemetery at that time had they had a giant incinerator over there. It's like they had three right around vacuum cleaners that they would vacuum all this cemetery dust up, grass cuttings and leaves and plant and tree shrubs and everything. So every day I'd fill my El Camino up five or six times and bring it all over here and spread it around, and it got thicker and thicker, to where it's like the first year, it's like there was probably more than a foot, maybe 18-inch layer of stuff. That then when the rains came, it's like I released earthworms into it. It's like the worms became so numerous that, like, one night the house over there, it's like they completely covered it. They come up out, you know, when it rains, they come up and they crawl to get up out of the water. So it's like the whole front of the house was covered with worms. But anyway, it's like the idea was to show how when you put the organic material around, all these living things come to live and party and have a good time in it. And it's like they all break it down and turn it into humus, which is the end product. It's the end of the life cycle. It's like the new beginning. It's like the humus is so fine that when you put the water to it, it becomes humic acid. And humic acid is like mother's milk and the blood of life, to where when the plant's roots come in contact with that, it takes the particles up inside of the plant and it becomes alive again. This is the resurrection.
Perfect. At this point, I really want you to explain this, because sometimes we come by and you're a little blue, Tim, and I want you to tell us a little bit about why your despondency and really the vision that you have for the world that you realize makes you stand a bit outside from everyone else.
Well, it's like the thing is, it's like I think the vision or the message is a little bit too heavy for most people because it takes them beyond limitations. It's like people, they're like Linus and Charlie Brown dragging their little security blanket of limitations around them. Even though they say that they want to overcome it, they really can't because they've been told by their so-called leaders, the religious leaders and the political leaders, that these limitations are something that we can't break free from. But we could break free from it right now if people just realized how powerful we can be if we just accept the truth and work with it and use life as I call it the weapons of mass creation.
Wonderful. You know, Tim, sometimes when we talk, you have this wonderful expression, the Christ that you believe in is not the Christ that is here anymore. And this, of course, goes back to the notion of the prophets, Ezekiel, all the prophets before him and after him, the notion of an avatar on this earth to help give us direction. Do you want to talk about the direction you want to see people going in and give us some specific milestones we should be looking for?
Well, I like to see them go in the direction of the resurrection, because the resurrection is it makes the confection it's like the best candy that the watermelon that I grew last year was so sweet, it was like something from another world. I mean, it's like the peas out there, you eat the peas, they have a sweetness. I mean, it's like it all turns it into sugar that's the best kind of sweets that you can eat, because it's like, it's not refined. It's like, it's just, it's so fine, my baby's so doggone fine. It's like the fine particles, it's like concentrated life goes up inside of the plant, and it makes it to where the plant has the means to produce stuff that is the way it should be.
Good. So let's make one more stab at talking about these incredibly difficult big abstract concepts. I want you to just tell us what you would like to see the world become. What you think that when you see the world, what do you see? It's not what, as you said this often, it's not what most people in power see. But I want you to tell us what you see and the potential you see when you look at the world.
Well, I see a world without limitations, a human race that all of a sudden breaks free. It's like and finds. See, back in 1980 and again in 83, I told everybody that with me in the presidency, I will personally guarantee that everybody globally can and will be set free, find real liberty, and be happy for the rest of eternity. But everybody voted for Ronnie and Jimmy instead of me.
Tim, God bless you. Tim, I think at this point we have nowhere to go but a song on your guitar from you.
Let's see if we're in tune. Let's see what I can do.
Take your time. We got a couple minutes here. Let's try something.
Big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely, and all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, the movie's gonna make me a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can never tell. Well, I hope you come and see me in the movies. Then I know that you will plainly see I'm the biggest fool I ever had the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, dun dun dun, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun. Make a film about a man outside and lonely. Take it down. See, that's my life. It's sad and lonely, and the biggest fool. It's like I realized that the Beatles song "The Fool on the Hill." I am the fool on the hill. The pile was the hill, and the fool, the people of the world, according to the song, saw the fool as being the fool, but he saw them as being the fools because they couldn't accept the truth that he was trying to give them. See how simple it is to overcome, but if you reject the truth, you can never be free.
Does Tim, what does the truth do?
Well, the truth is that we've always had the answer, and we could use it. It's like Dorothy and the ruby slippers. It's like she couldn't use the ruby slippers wouldn't work for her until she went to the wizard and found out that he wasn't what he was supposed to be. That what she was really looking for was the people that she loved, and the happiness is in your own backyard.
Tim, that's beautiful. We're gonna sign off with you. I want you to leave us with a thought, a meditation, that people can carry with them for the next day or two as this interview resonates in their lives.
Well, the thought would be to realize that, like I say, that life should be sacred. It's like the real Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So life is the only thing that can create matter. It's like matter is the thing that can set us free. It's like for example, look at Kilauea. Look at the power that the volcano is generating. Every plant, every living thing is like a volcano. It's like when the energy is in, you know, when the thing is still alive, it's like magma is it's lava before it comes out and becomes what it is. But anyway, it's like I lost my cool on that one. But anyway, it's like the energy is something that's unlimited. If we just the more we use the material that life creates to fuel it and to feed it, the more productive and the better it can become. It's like the idea is to make a game out of the whole thing. I call it the Twain is the name of the game, and the main reason that I came is to aim to reign and give you put the gain back in the game again.
Tim, thank you. We'll see you again very soon, and God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Richard. I'm glad you folks stopped by, and it's like I hope this helps you to believe that you have the creative power yourself to make your own thing something that will set you guys free and help you to really feel like you've found the thing that everybody's been looking for from the beginning.